Parent Show, sponsored by Raydon Solicitors, award-winning specialist family lawyers. See raydonsolicitors.co.uk.
Welcome to The Parent Show, and sadly to another edition of The Lockdown Dads, aka The Deadbeat Dads. We're a fairly random selection of parents from across St. Albans who just happen to have bumped into each other at various times, with the only common factor that we are all parents, just like you. Well, not quite like you. You're probably much better than we are. And our intention over the next 45 minutes or so is to give you all the information you need to prove to yourself that you're not the dumbest dad in St. Albans. It will clearly be one or all of us. So tonight, after sharing our random, barely coherent thoughts on the importance of exercise, the frustrations of lockdown, the value of cinema, the pitfalls of holiday, we turn our laser-like focus to the subject of music. As a parent, how important is music? And we don't mean to you, the panel. We all know that you can throw the headphones on and listen to some Bachman Turner to the detriment of all. We mean to the family as a whole. How important is it to you to pass on the love of music to your children, your hopes and fears over their musical taste? What about them becoming a musician themselves? Do you have aspirations for your child or children to learn an instrument for pleasure or for profit? How important is music to the family? Do you sing along together? Do you have music evenings? Do particular songs form part of your family folklore? Songs to remind you of happy, sad, or simply memorable times? Well, to help us discuss that subject and investigate the importance of music to parenting, I'd like to introduce you to your panel of anti-experts, who I'm going to ask to position themselves on the musical firmament by sharing the name of their favourite song, their favourite band, or their favourite genre. And we will start, as always, with the legend that is Toby. Welcome.
Oh, Steve, thanks very much. Thanks for having me back. In terms of favourite band, this is really tricky because it changes. It really does. But I guess the one thing that's been a constant is probably Pink Floyd.
There we go. It's going to be that sort of night. And from our resident hippie to Andrew, how are you? Welcome back.
Very well, thank you.
And your musical hero?
Hero, would I? I'm not sure I'd say I have a hero, Human League and things like that from that time, but it's.
Well, it was the age that.
So it is Human League, is that what you're saying?
No, what I'm saying is it's the first one that I remember hearing. And remembering the song on a little radio that my parents...
Well, if we squint at you, there is a passing resemblance between you and Phil Oakey. So tilt your head to one side, your head's a bit longer on one side than the other. So. Welcome to the show, Tristan, and tell us about your musical heroes.
Thanks very much, Steve. Great to be on again.
It's your last time, again, so get it right this time.
Yeah, no, that's right. I know I'm on borrowed time. So, like Andrew, I think that the kind of formative band is probably U2, and particularly kind of the earliest stuff, and Where the Streets Have No Name probably being the song. And I can probably reference that to more points in my life and remember more things off that than I can from many others. Don't tell my wife that.
Sorry, she won't be listening.
Closely followed by Barry White.
My wife will remember. Anyway,
aren't we all? And Monia, I noticed that you've called yourself, for the purposes of tonight, not Bruce Springsteen. Does that give us any clue as to your musical heritage? Because you have exhibited in the past some wider net throwing when it comes to music than the rest of the panel.
Yeah, this is no clues to Springsteen whatsoever, even though I did like some of his stuff. It's a difficult one for me. Growing up in central London, being exposed to all sorts of different types of music, I think Phil Collins was the man when I was growing up, kind of artist I liked. I liked him in Genesis. But music-wise, it's quite weird. As you say, they say it's an eclectic taste of music.
Did you say epileptic taste of music?
Yeah, epileptic. No, eclectic. I don't know. Come on, I'm dyslexic. But one of my favourite artists is a gentleman called Mohammed Rafi. He recorded 28,000 backing tracks for Bollywood movies since 1940s till he died in 1989 or something like that. And he's played some of the greatest tracks in the world ever. And you guys probably have never heard of his 28,000 songs.
We're going to be playing about 14,000 of them later on in the show. So we'll get a chance to hear that. Thank you, Monia, and thank you, panel. Sadly, Sammy can't be with us tonight. Sadly, he's not feeling very well. But sadly, we had some great gags lined up about French music and drummers in general, which it would be a shame to waste. So I'm going to ask Sammy anyway, even though he's not on the call, the first question. Sammy, we're going to start with you because you're a drummer. Are you musical at all? He'd love that. Monia, that didn't help. That was the worst French accent we've ever heard. So to the first question then, gentlemen, it's a simple question to the panel. How important do you think music is as a parent? As a parent of a child, how important is music in your family life? Is it just another school subject or does it have a more significant value, do you think?
Can we be a bit more specific about music and at what stage of the children's life? Because we were on the bus go round and round. It's technically music in our house for the first four years.
I don't think we're familiar with that tune. Perhaps you could give us a quick rendition.
Yeah. Okay. Should I do it in the...
You got the box set as well, haven't you?
I've got the extended LP version. Yeah. That was amazing. That was 12 minutes of Wheels on a Bus Go Round and Round. But I think depending on what age and what stage the kids are at, I think music does play a big role. Obviously from Twinkle Twinkle Little Star up to now, well, my girls have kind of gone off music a little bit, but they're coming back into it quite slowly. And occasionally I hear them singing in this living room or in the bedroom or in the kitchen while they're doing stuff, which brings a nice smile to my face. Like, oh, they still haven't forgot music.
I think when I was putting the question onto paper, I was thinking in terms of school subjects, music tends not to get the same press as maths or English or science or so on. And yet we probably all spend more of our time as grown-ups and certainly as children listening to music than indulging in those other subjects. So is it as important to us as a parent? Is it something we want to encourage our children into? What do you think, Toby? Actually... Oh, sorry. Andrew, go ahead.
I think the focus of it has changed a lot because I remember when I was a kid and music was, as you say, just another subject. And I'm sure, depending on what kind of school you went to, if you went to anyone like mine, then you'd just be handed a recorder that tasted TCP and told to play Peas Pudding Hot. And that was as far as it went. And there wasn't that much in the way of sort of parental encouragement and things like that because it was another thing. Now, these days, there's a lot hinting towards music is good for children. It helps build their IQ and open to babies and all this sort of thing. So I think in a way, we've kind of become a bit more programmed to make sure that our kids learn some sort of instrument or something like that. And so the even though in some cases it might just be another subject from a school's point of view, from a parent's point of view, it's something where my kid needs to have an instrument.
I did a little bit of research and various family foundations cite that learning an instrument gives 10 different attributes to children. It will increase their memory skills, their perseverance, sense of achievement, coordination, their maths skills, their reading skills, the responsibility for looking after their instrument, exposure to culture, self-expression, and the ability to listen. And God help it if they need it, improving their social skills. So it seems that music is a big boon.
I've been explaining, I can add an 11th to that of course, if they choose the right sort of guitar, it can make them immeasurably more attractive to women as well. Isn't that right, Holly?
Is that tumbleweed? So,
I think my wife left me, actually.
For a groupie.
Interesting that it's one of the items there was it makes them more capable of listening. Now, I've got two boys, both of them play a musical instrument. Neither of them listen to me. So I think there's some flaw there in the research that's been done.
I've had a problem with music and my boys because and it's a little bit like books. So I remember growing up and being hugely influenced by the books that my father had on the bookshelf and, you know, always being curious about them and, you know, some of them wanting to read them someday. And I wanted to recreate that for the kids. So the only physical books we have are ones that I think are aspirational for them. The problem I have with music is I don't own any. I literally, there are no CDs, there is no physical manifestation of music, like a music collection, because we just don't do that anymore. When I grew up at home, you know, I have really fond memories of an old mixed, I think it was one of my dad's friends had given him, and I purloined it from him. And that was my first taste of Pink Floyd was on there. There was some Jeff Lynne on there. There was some Jean-Michel Jarre on there. There was just this eclectic bag. And I'm here. And I remember being very influenced by it. But it's a lot more difficult to do that, especially as both the boys have got, you know, their own Spotify family accounts. So I do try and urge them in the right direction, or occasionally I'll share a playlist with them. But yeah.
Do you do that, Toby, to help bond with your children, to build or in this case strengthen the relationship that you have with them, or is it just that you want to show off your musical taste to them?
No, I think it's important. I think it is important that, you know, at least they've been exposed to it. If they choose to not like it, that's entirely up to them. But I don't want my kids getting to their next school and not having listened. I mean, if they don't like Led Zeppelin, that's fine. I feel like I've done my bit, that they know Led Zeppelin. But I feel that there may be a bunch of kids growing up now and this stuff is just a mystery to them.
Do they have a whole lot of love for Led Zeppelin? Or?
Oh, there we go.
You.
So obviously, you try and put in front of them as many kind of tracks from the past as you possibly can. But at what point did you pick up on you just mentioned Pink Floyd and a mix that your dad had. But I don't think it all happened. I mean, my parents didn't go but much on pop music at all. And therefore, it was never listened to at home. And therefore, you know, maybe the old Beatles track or whatever. But not much, really. So all of my experiences in music were out of the kind of parental nest. And I don't think I missed out. I think I heard just about everything that there was to hear. And, you know, I don't think that I needed to be pushed down a direction at all. I think it was, it's something to explore on your own. I appreciate that. I
mean, music is the ideal. It is the ideal medium to rebel against your parents. That's what music was invented for. That's what rock and roll was there for, and pop. Punk rock music, it was all to break away from the standard. So picking up music from your parents, you're quite right, is just shouldn't be that way. And yet perhaps we are all, I'm talking for myself now, I'm very keen to instill a sense of musical discipline on my child, which involves the music that I like. And so far it's not working.
Sorry, Tim, is that being a little bit elitist though, in terms of the music that we want? I mean, we grew up in an era where the music of the 80s and 90s on punk rock was good, and U2 were kind of geniuses, and Beatles were just kind of still in the fray. But did we not find our own music and our own feet in music? And shouldn't we let our kids do the same? And I got exposed to music through my friend. My parents never listened to music, but I got exposed to certain types of music through friends. You mentioned Jean-Michel Jarre. A friend of mine introduced me to Jean-Michel Jarre when I was 14, and at the time it was amazing. So shouldn't we let the kids decide what they want to listen and listen to what their peers are? And I think we have a kind of elitist notion of music these days isn't what it used to be for us.
It's an interesting idea, Monier, but no, we shouldn't. We should be inflicting our musical tastes on our children as far as possible.
I mean, we want to be academic and intellectual, dude. Oh, man.
We're skirting around this, right? I'm going to be the first to break the pack. We're all skirting around this. We all know that music died in the 1980s, and that everything that has passed for music since then has been derivative. It's been copied. It's
been totally commercial, man.
It's musical pap, isn't it? So, do you think there's a way of turning back the clock and getting our kids to listen to proper music? I was doing the finger thing then. You can't see it on the radio, but proper music, like what we used to listen to back in the olden days. Or do you think, as Moni is saying, we just need to let them get on with it?
Well, Well, the thing is it's not unlike the same sort of conversation we had when we were talking about movies, and when Toby was talking about showing a classic Bond film to his kids, and for us it's like, oh, this is a classic, and the kids like, that's an old movie, and they'd think the same thing about us playing them the song from our era as well, because they'll just look at you as if to say, this is so embarrassing, why are you hurting my ears with this?
And I get where you're coming from, but Rupert, so my eldest is 12, right? The single biggest positive influence as far as his musical taste is concerned came from the mixtape from the Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack. If you listen to the Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack, it's basically all the sort of music that you would recommend that your kids listen to. But if you said it as a parent, they'd say, exactly. Oh, what's this rubbish?
It doesn't have the stigma of dad's seal of approval.
But Rocket Raccoon likes it. So all of a sudden, because Rupes was listening to, you know, Lakeshore Drive and things like this. I'm like, do you know what Lakeshore Drive stands for? And he's like, well, yeah, it's a road. I'm like, well, I think it might stand for LSD, but, you know, because it was in a Marvel movie, it's fine. But look, however they get their medicine, it's fine. As long as they take the vitamins, I'm not fussed.
And you're 100% right, because the thing is that ultimately there is that whole thing of, if my parents recommended something to me, I've got to find a reason why it's rubbish. So, as you say, if it's recommended by a third party, then obviously it gives it a validity that it wouldn't otherwise have.
The other thing I've done is, which is a bit cheeky, is take them to gigs that they otherwise wouldn't be able to afford. So,
So you've taken them to rock concerts? When you say gigs, you mean like modern music concerts?
You know me, Steve, I'm not one for standing up, really. So most of the gigs I've been to have been sitting down affairs. But I took Rupert to see Joe Bonamassa down in Brighton when he came and played. So one of the best contemporary blues guitarists we've got. And did he enjoy it? If you asked him whether he enjoyed it, he would probably say no. But he looked to be enjoying it when we were there, and he was properly into it. And look, he had the experience. If as a consequence of that, he chooses to go and watch some other music because he likes the atmosphere, that's fine. The one thing I would say, though, which was has really helped with the kids, is we would generally go to festivals, principally, what's the one down in Dorset called? Camp Bestival. So we've gone to that year after year after year, and they've had headliners like the Kaiser Chiefs and people like that. But the boys are able to sort of move between things. If they don't like it, then, you know, they'll wander off, go off with Holly and listen to something else. So they've had some really good exposure to old things, new things, you know, some crazy rave stuff, silent discos, all of that stuff. And, you know, I trust their taste. But it's not for...
You get a sense of pride when they ask what a particular track is on your playlist. You're playing them some music and they say, oh, Dad, I like that one. What's that one? And you're able to say, that, son, that is Kajagoogoo. Does that give you a sense of pride when they follow up with that?
Well, no, I mean, obviously, what gives me the most pride is explaining that the number one in the UK charts when I was born in June of 1976 was the Wurzels with I've Got a Brand New Combine Harvester. They were excited to hear that.
And as a Devon boy, you'd expect to be delighted as well. Maybe
I'm amazed that it wasn't at the top of the charts for 16 weeks.
we're going to put it on the Radio Verulam playlist and see if we can get it back up to number one coming up now.
I thought it was on the Verulam playlist.
Therefore, it's a blank canvas, so we can put whatever we like on it. We're going to take a short break now and come back to still talking about music, but talking about instruments and whether or not children playing an instrument is something which we aspire to. And we'll be back in just a moment. This is Radio Verulam.
The Parent Show, sponsored by Raydon Solicitors, award-winning specialist family lawyers. See raydonsolicitors.co.uk.
And welcome back to the Lockdown Dads Facing the Music. We are asking the question of the lockdown panels, what do we think about the value of music in the act of parenting? Is it something which we enjoy, which we endure, or which we really are proud of passing on to our children? And we're going to be asking the question now about playing musical instruments. And again, it's sad that Sammy is not with us. Sammy is a drummer, and we had some great jokes lined up about drums not being technically an instrument. There was a gag, what do you call somebody who follows around a bunch of musicians?
A drummer.
That is a drummer, yeah, but Sammy's not here to defend himself, so we won't actually ask that one. So I'm going to start there. Toby, I'm going to aim this one at you, because you really are a gifted musician, and I'm not mocking in any way. You play guitar to a high standard. You are very capable on the keyboard, and I think you sing as well. You can sight read and sing. So do you think that your children have inherited your musical talent, or even a passing instrument in and playing an instrument? Any musical prodigies in your household apart from yourself?
No.
Okay. Andrew.
No.
And there is,
so here's the thing. I mean, there are some children, and I was not one of them, who absolutely love their music. I think they're few and far between. Because the thing with any form of music is it just requires discipline. And I was never a disciplined child. There needs to be some sort of exogenous force that gets you through that curve of misery. And it can be years, to a point where actually what you're doing gives you a sense of pride and joy. Well, that's a Stevie Ray Vaughan song, isn't it? But anyway, it gives you a sense of pride and joy. And I don't think that, you know, kids just generally aren't wired for repetitive behaviours that they
don't
enjoy.
Toby wins the prize for kids today. First one of us tonight saying kids today don't.
No, not kids today.
Kids in general.
I was exactly the same.
And that goes for musicians. It goes for sports. It goes for, you name it. It's the same thing. The kids who, you know, the Tiger Woods of this world, who are picking up golf clubs at the age of four and are being drilled on a daily basis by probably their parents, are the ones who become incredible musicians. Or it's the kind of innately driven kids Coldplay, you know, they found each other at school and they just spent time doing it. The Beatles, you know, they went off to Germany, they kind of spent time doing it. It's the 10,000 hours thing, right? If you put the time in, you get immeasurable output, and kids aren't wired to do that. As a general, that my kids aren't wired to do that.
That said, Steve, there are two things that strike me about what you said. One is, and my wife would tell you that this was an excuse, but I have always tried to create a, you know, we're fortunate in the fortunate position that I have some instruments. They're around the house, they've always been there, the kids have always had access to a nice piano or guitars, or so there has never been an excuse or a reason for them not to be interested. I've always played and they've seen me do that. If I'm honest, the younger one actually I'll find him at the piano a lot more often than his older brother. He shows a bit more inclination to enjoy what he's doing. So maybe I was a bit harsh. They will pick up an instrument and do it for their own pleasure. But I wonder whether I've gone too much in the opposite direction, because my mother in particular was quite old school when it came to the way that music should be practiced. So even though I don't feel I do play very well, and you were very kind with what you said, but that even that very modest amount of skill only came off the back of my mother's grueling training regime. And to be perfectly honest, I'd rather have a different relationship with my children when it comes to music than the one I had with my mother, because it was pretty brutal.
That's an entirely different show, which we'll be following up on in another.
The relationship I have with my mother.
Yes, indeed, yes.
I might cry.
I think, I don't know, when my oldest was around about 3 years old, I bought her a violin. Don't know why. A three-year-old can't barely grasp a milk bottle, let alone a violin. but I thought, you know, I played the clarinet and a saxophone in my early days, and thought, you know, let's see if I can get her to pick up an instrument and enjoy that music, not to be a professional, not just to kind of learn it. She didn't touch it once. We still got it. Tried to palm it off onto the youngest one. The youngest one took a first look at it and tried to strum it like a guitar. And I thought, all right, okay, I'll get a couple of guitars. Got two guitars, sitting in the shed, doing nothing. But a year ago, or just about a year ago, lockdown hit. And I said, look, can we get a piano? So I'm not spending five grand on the piano. I'm going to get you an electronic keyboard, Casio, from Amazon. Got that, and they enjoy it. They played it. My daughter learned the theme tune from Harry Potter on the piano in 4 days. And like, and that taught me that leave them to it, let them get on with it, and they'll play. But now, 9 months later, it's underneath the bed gathering dust until she feels the need to do it again. So
The points that I made before from the Family Foundation research, there was a list of 10, and Toby added a couple of on reasons why it's good to play an instrument. Why would we not want our children to pick that set of disciplines? Why would we not want them to be rock stars and heroes and getting more sex than we got?
obviously,
that's the what happened in the vestry at school, Steve's school.
Kurt,
it's an old boys' school, isn't it?
Why would you not want them to be a rock star? Why would you not want them to be popular? And why would you not want them to be having more sex than we had when we were younger? So why would we not be pushing them into doing this?
I've got two names for you, Kurt Cobain and Axl Rose. Next question.
Too much too soon.
Well, you know, the most obvious danger if you try and encourage your children in that direction is that they may become drummers. Right, which means that they've got a life of destitution. You know, they'll be homeless before they get, well, they'd certainly be homeless before they reach the end of school. If any of my children expressed an interest in the drums, that's for dead sure. I send them round to Sammy's house.
Andrew, you kept quiet through this. Do you play an instrument at all? Is there any musical talent in your family?
Does the drummer. Kazoo count or the triangle probably?
No, they're both ahead of drums. Yeah, don't worry about that.
Well, I remember kazoo. I got a free kazoo from the dandy. They were giving them away free when you buy it on a Saturday afternoon.
Yes. Yeah, I remember them.
So for the reason that we said before, it wasn't considered something that was as important, certainly in my age and the sort of school and the area that I lived in. And really, I still to this day count myself as sort of musically obtuse, largely because, I mean, I grew up in a Greek family, and Greek music is, should we say, somewhat less than tuneful. I mean, if any of you are familiar with Greek music, I mean, Mania, so you're familiar with the Indian instrument, the sitar, for example.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine the sound of a sitar as it's being used to clobber a cat. I mean, that's kind of something close to the sort of sound that you'd hear for Greek music. So ordinarily, you'd think that would kind of push someone more towards another kind of musical genre. But it kind of almost killed stone dead any sort of potential interest in music I might have had. So not to say that I don't like music, obviously I do, but I wouldn't say that I'd got it from the point of view of, oh, I must emulate this artist or, you know, learn to play this instrument or something.
Have you enrolled your son into any musical classes to learn an instrument, even though you didn't?
Well, the school actively encourage this sort of thing, and they give them a tryout on all these instruments, and basically at the end of it, they kind of said, it's the tambourine or the drums, and he chose the drums. So
you threw him out of the house.
I gave him Sammy's number actually. So
I understand there's going to be a bouzouki returned to the music department in a year's time, so we might be able to pick that up.
Or a bazooka if I get my
Tristan, you got two boys. Are they exhibiting musical talent, and are you proud of that or not?
Very, very proud, just not of the musical talent. No. So so I learned the flute as a young child and played it for years. You can see it, can't you? I'm a natural flautist. for years, got absolutely nowhere with it. Tried my hardest, however, you know, never practiced.
Got throttled by a couple of snakes in the process, no doubt.
It was not one of those, no. So obviously, delighted with the idea of instilling some kind of musical prowess capability in my own children. Obviously, there was lots going on in the gene pool. Youngest
from the
one
other
is
side
a,
of the
is
family.
A, yeah, pretty much, exactly.
All the talent comes from the other side of the family.
So the youngest one is a pianist and a singer, and the eldest one is a drummer. So there you go. He got my talent. But I think it's important. I think it's really lovely to hear them kind of develop, and when they do get down to practice, it's great to hear it. And the thing about drums is, even in kind of term one, lesson one, it sounds quite good. Actually, it doesn't sound like a cat being strangled, like a violin. It doesn't sound.
It's not
bad.
Hard, to be honest. Really, well, it's not hard. It's just hitting stuff with sticks. It's the oldest musical instrument we can lay our hands on, really.
Yeah, but you know what? We'll let them have it, and then maybe they'll progress on to the guitar and, you know, grow out of that in time. Who knows?
So moving on to the next question. It's a question which we did ask in previous shows about cinema and movies in general, which was how much they had become integrated into your sort of family folklore, your family history, particular movies which would mark a particular occasion or a memory or something you'd go back and talk about. Is the same true of songs? Do songs find their way into your family folklore, making the family culture more enriched?
No, they do.
The mic switched off all of a sudden. It was a fair question, I thought.
I think they do. I was just struggling to think. I was thinking, are there individual songs? And for us, there aren't really. There are a couple of individual songs, maybe from... It's holidays generally, but as we've said before, we'd go on road trips, and you will find that there will be one song or one or two songs that are just the earworms that become the anthem of the trip. And
that,
you know, they
true.
Lift your mood, and they're very positive and they're very upbeat. You're like, yeah, I remember that. And when it comes on the radio several months later and the weather has turned and it's all a bit miserable, if what happened to be the summer anthem comes on the radio, it's back to summer. And I think that's one of the things that the kids take away, is that it doesn't really matter what the song is, but if you as a family are connected with it together, you'll always go back to that place. And I remember, Munir, it was on a previous one of these shows, didn't you? You had some great stories about songs that were hugely evocative for you, didn't you? Did you not have? Was there not one?
Bangra,
oh, no,
on the beach. Was it Bangra on the beach? Was
summer
holiday. It was summer holiday. Oh no, it was.
I know what you're referring to.
Yes, I had the Carpenters on cassette, and that was the only music which we had in the car, and we used to go on very long journeys, and even today I know word perfectly all the songs of the Carpenters' greatest hits, to my detriment. And
does
also
it, when you listen to it now, you catch one of those songs, are you there with the same smells? I mean, it's literally a teleportation back
that,
to that
was
car.
My point in the question. It absolutely is. If I hear I'm on top of the world looking down on creation, I'm driving up to the Scottish borders to stay on a campsite in a forest. I can picture it, and you know, the memories come flooding back. And there was a ski holiday at the school very recently that I went on, and every night at the local bar, there'd be a gang of Germans would gather together to sing the Johnny Depp song. I don't know whether you're familiar with that, but basically it's a lot of chanting of Johnny Depp, Depp, Depp over and over again. But whenever I hear that, and I do stumble across it on the internet, whenever I hear that, I'm instantly back on that mountain, fearing for my life.
So is this like the German ski equivalent of Rickrolling?
I do believe it is, yes. I do believe it is.
Because I heard that it's mostly Rock Me Amadeus by Falco that they tend to play over and over again in the skis.
Now that is an 80s classic. I'll give you that. That, along with Stan Ridgway's Camouflage, which I think was in the charts at the same time.
We are veering dangerously close to talking about ancient music, which nobody listening to this show will have heard of. There's a special section of the show at the end, which we're going to dedicate to our songs. So we're going to...
Sorry. In answer to Toby's question, yeah, I do remember, but I think I was just thinking about the new songs that my girls are into at the moment, and it kind of descends back into Disney princesses. So they've gone through a whole raft of singing Frozen 2 songs. Now they're a little bit older, but just verging on teenage years, and they've started discovering Descendants, Disney Descendants. I'm not sure if you guys have heard of that, but it takes the kids of the Disney princesses, like, you know, Belle has a daughter, and she's gone to this high school, and they're now singing all these songs from Descendants. When we're driving, they become the DJ, and they start playing all these songs all across from London to Manchester. They play that, and that's all stuck in my head. And then suddenly I wake up in the morning singing this Disney song. Where do I get this from? But I think for me, you're talking about memories. This is memories for 5-10 years time. When I look back on it, simpler years. They were so naive, and they were just singing these wonderful songs, blah, blah, blah. And I think that's the moments that we're making. And let them find their own feet. I think by the time they're 18, 19, they would be a bit more into our culture music, Bollywood music, that kind of stuff. But throwing that into the mix, they listen to Islamic Nasheed songs. And when we mentioned you were going to do music, and I'm remembering when I first got into Nasheed, I thought, this is great, this is amazing. Then I realized that I've become one of those religious music type people, but they're into that now. And that's a big thing within their peer group. That is a huge thing. And kind of culturally, religiously, music for us isn't permissible. We're not allowed to listen to music unless it's percussion instruments. So Sammy would be lovely to have his drumming skills. It's part of the Hadith, which are the teachings and the rules that are come from the Quran, saying don't listen to music unless it's kind of percussion instrument, essentially. So yeah, it is quite strict on that. However, me being a more of a liberal Muslim, I've grown up with music, but my kids, this is why it's difficult for me to push them in any one direction about that. Like, I've got to let them find their own feet in music, and they'll kind of work it out.
Presumably that rule came from when they'd been listening to lots of Greek music, and they said, we can't inflict this on anyone else.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. It's all down to Hannibal crossing the Himalayas.
Exactly. Well, I mean, you know, we try and probe my mother-in-law on her taste of music, but anything that doesn't involve the Benedictine throat warblers is off the menu entirely. So, you know, it's you can't attribute that to any sort of cultural reference, really.
Can you do any throat warbling, Andrew?
Hey, I'm referring to someone else's interest, not mine.
Oh,
like, okay. I said, I was so dazed by all the Greek music that I had to listen to. I mean, look, we never had any rodents in our house because all the mice were throwing themselves onto the traps. It was just, it was carnage. It really was.
We are going to take another short break here while Andrew regales us with more throat warbling stories. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. And we're going to be asking the panel to think of the music which they may have inherited from their parents and the music that they want to pass down to their children, which we've shamelessly stolen from another show format, but it's my show and I'm doing it.
The Parent Show, sponsored by Raiden Solicitors, award-winning specialist family lawyers. See raidensolicitors.co.uk.
Welcome back to The Parent Show here on Radio Verulam on 92.6 FM. I'm Steve Simpson, and I'm joined by the Lockdown Dads panel, sometimes known as the Deadbeat Dads panel, and we're discussing music and the importance of music within the family environment and how important it is to play an instrument and listen to music as a family. But we're going to move on to the next question now. You've all been very patient. I know I've had to hold you on a leash because what you really want to talk about is why your music is the best music in the world and why it's more important than anyone else's music. So we're just going to explore that a little bit. I'd like to ask you, what particular music do you think you got passed down to you directly from your parents? And what would you like to pass on to your children? What are your musical heritages and what would you like to pass down to your children? Who'd like to start us off with that one? I'll start with that one then. I got an introduction to country music from my father, Irish country music, actually. The first album that he got, he won in a fairground. And before that, we had no music in the house. It was the Irish McPeak family. And we played that album over and over again, bought a little turntable. And you can draw a direct line from that through the Pogues, who I know aren't Irish, but through the Pogues into Mumford and Sons. And that has been passed down to me from my parents and developed into that music. And when it comes to passing down music to my sons, I would love them to appreciate genuine melodic rock music played on a guitar-based, with interesting lyrics. And I would hold that an artist by the name of Lloyd Cole exemplifies that entirely. So if any of my children start playing Lloyd Cole music at some point in the future, I feel that I've done my job.
You've thought about this a bit, haven't you, Steve?
I have a little bit, yeah. I have to. It's my show. If I don't think about it, it doesn't work.
And to be fair, Tris, he did encourage us to think about it before we joined him.
Homework.
Did you not do your homework again?
Well, I think the dog ate it, sir. Sorry.
Mine is spinning with the dervishes. I'm not quite sure. Because my parents weren't music people, and most of the music was Bangladeshi folk music, one of the names that pops into my head is a guy called Alamgir. He was from our region of Bangladesh. Nice songs, nice folky. It's essentially like country music, and like the Irish folk music is essentially that. It stuck with me. That's kind of a decent legacy. But passing on to my kids, I don't know. I've passed on quite a few songs. American Pie, Don McLean. We listened to that for about 6 months continuously. Me and two girls, and they know that off by heart now. So I think
Wheels on the Bus. I think you mentioned that one before. That's one to pass on.
Yeah, Wheels on the Bus. That was passed on, and hopefully they'll pass it on to their kids if they have kids. We do get confused with Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, which sounds a bit like
Toby. Where are you on the passing down of music?
So going full circle back to what we discussed at the beginning about you always think that your taste is the best and they must listen to it. I think what my parents, that I can't think of any, because it wasn't really my father that made me listen to Pink Floyd. He just happened to have a tape of it that I found. He was very much into classical music, and my parents had season tickets for the Bournemouth Symphony Orchestra. And if one or other of them couldn't go, and it was usually mum who was sort of busy with something, then I would go and take one of those seats. And I remember initially being bored to death by it. And then as the years went by, coming to appreciate it. And it's not until you grow up that you realize, A, what a privilege it is, and B, how useful it was, or how much you actually did enjoy it at the time. So that's a long-winded way of saying I would just like whatever the music is that the kids listen to, I would like them to enjoy it, but be able to listen to it in an intelligent way, and for it to enrich them, and to question what they're listening to, not just to listen to things because other people are, but to find their own feet and to find the things that really speak to them. And that will change throughout time. So, I would just like them to keep an open mind, but to always have music. That would be the thing I would like to pass on.
I'm going to press you on that, Toby. I can see you sitting on a fence there. I'm going to press you to name one song that you would really love your boys to have on their Spotify playlist when you're but a memory.
Oh my Lord. One song, given that we've just passed, you know, the end of January the 30th has just passed. There's a budget due, and I happen to be learning it on the guitar at the moment. I would say it's the Beatles' Taxman. That's a very, very prescient song.
There we go. And if you're not around, there's only two certainties in life, right?
Yeah.
The eldest, he will frequently ask about the Beatles. He expressed an interest in the Beatles and the Beatles music way before I ever suggested to them about the Beatles. And I've no idea where it came from.
My boy has the same fascination too.
I think in that same vein, and it's the kind of it's the psyche of popular culture at the time. And my parents used to take me to the theatre to go and see Gilbert and Sullivan, and we went to see loads of them. And I remember going to the theatre and actually there being an amazing buzz about this music, and it was all, you know, the tracks were changed to kind of fit the situation, either political or social at the time, and it was just great fun, right? And I listen to them now, I know the songs, I can't quite sing, I am the very model of a model major general, as fast as those some of those guys can, and I'm not an am drummer, but do you know what, if I can put some of that into a bottle and give it to my children and get them to kind of, you know, enjoy it, comprehend it, and be able to sit there and take some joy out of it, then I think that would be great as well.
That's an excellent point as well, actually. So Tristan, you make a good point there, because effectively the extra shackles of popular culture and people say, I've listened to this track from this band, therefore you must like it, otherwise, you know, you're not cool. This is a kind of a step away from that. So you're kind of, you allow yourself to like these Gilbert and Sullivan tracks. And I went to a school where they used to do a lot of Gilbert and Sullivan productions internally. And I could still remember many of those songs to this day for that very reason, because you allow yourself to, you know, you drop your guard and you can like these sort of things, but that doesn't always apply to popular music at the time.
So we started off, I've started off with an impression that we were a bunch of rockers and fading hippies. And it seems that there's more of a tendency towards Gilbert than Sullivan, or maybe even Gilbert O'Sullivan, I don't know, rather than anything else.
But sometimes...
But you did say, what have you taken from your parents? And,
yes,
and that you'd be happy to put onto your children. And you know, my parents weren't big rockers or into... Johnny Rotten, but they were up for and into GNS, and therefore it kind of feels like a nice kind of path through. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do, very much indeed.
And it's interesting, actually, something that also relates to that. I would never consider myself as someone who appreciates opera or anything like that. But sadly, my father-in-law, who died a few years ago, they had a memorial for him. It was actually at St. Bride's. And he did like opera, and they sang one of the songs from Madame Butterfly, Undi, if I've pronounced that correctly. And I remember as it played, I got goosebumps because it just sounded so beautiful. And I would never normally say, oh, that's the sort of song that I'd like. But if you kind of, again, drop your guard and allow yourself to listen to it, actually, this isn't bad.
Well, gentlemen, thank you for your contribution this evening. It's been fascinating as always. And I'm afraid to say, as always, I'm struggling to pick up on any points that we're all fully agreed on, other than that perhaps Gilbert and Sullivan represent the pinnacle of popular British music.
Now, I'm pretty sure we all agreed that drums aren't musical instruments.
We did agree on that one. That is very, very true.
Don't tell our children.
French music extended as far as Jean-Michel Jarre and then stopped. But perhaps we could agree on a single track to play us out tonight. Any favourite songs that might encapsulate who we are and what we do?
Hey, we're the monkeys.
Yeah. I remind you on that one.
Yeah, absolutely. But someone commented earlier, I think that the Don McLean, you know, look, probably just about somewhere in the 80s, the music did die, didn't it?
It sums up our generation of us deadbeat dads, I think.
And that is the tune that we'll play out with tonight. I did notice with some interest that amongst
The guitar players and piano players and singers, we've got a bouzouki player, we've got a clarinet player, we've got a flute player. If only we had a drummer. Get well soon, Sammy.